You have power. The power to save lives. The power to defeat illnesses. The power to use games for good. You can be a hero for local sick and injured kids through Extra Life, a 24-hour gaming marathon that supports a local Children's Miracle Network hospital in your community. Join 50,000 gamers from all across the world as we battle the enemy, illnesses, and injuries facing local kids.
Play games! Heal kids!
Find out more at extra-life.org.
Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers. Lose the wizard hat and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of Put Your Quarter Up If You Got Next, DK Podcast Gaming. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad.
That's right. Welcome to our big monthly gaming episode, where to you, the listener, the reviews and opinions found within this segment may be the most important things that ever happened to your ears. But for us, it's Wednesday.
Thank you, M. Bison.
Let's thank our sponsors. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today with free shipping on all orders within the U.S., plus great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of old-school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or something in between, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. And Gamefly, with membership options for every budget, plus gifts for gamers of all ages. Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want. When you're done, just send it back with a postage-paid envelope for a new one, or keep it forever and pay a lot less than those in-store prices. And they just updated their rewards program. You can stack up to $20 in coupons toward any purchase. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now. Just use the link at geekcavepodcast.com. Gentlemen, I don't think I exaggerate when I say that at the end of this month will be the biggest event of the year for us.
Yep.
Nope, you're right.
Yeah. So it's Extra Life time. What that means to you, the listener, means it's once a year we come hat in hand or headset in hand or whatever, asking for monies, but not for us. God knows this podcast runs on a deficit, but not for us. We are asking for donations for Children's Miracle Network hospitals. We have each chosen a different hospital to play for, and all you have to do is go to geekcavepodcast.com, click on Extra Life 2022 right there at the top of the page, or click on the link in any video or podcast we've uploaded in the past several months. For us, it is a time of reflection because we have each had experience with children's hospitals and Children's Miracle Network hospitals in particular. And it is also a time for us to remind ourselves how important the audience is, not just to the show, but to this fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
Because without you, we would not be able to get it done. So we have a variety of prizes on hand. We've got movie downloads. We've got t-shirts from Shirtosaurus. We've got a free copy of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge on the Nintendo Switch. It's from Limited Run Games. And it's a really fun game.
Mm-hmm.
We've all played it.
Yep.
We've all had a good time with it. If you like those arcadey Ninja Turtles games, that's right there, and it hits the nostalgia sweet spot. Just, and also, if you donate $250 or more, you will be a part of the show in an upcoming episode via video chat. You can get all the details, find all the prizes and all that at geekcavepodcast.com. Just click on the Extra Life page again, and we will be going into those in detail during the live stream, which is set October 28th and 29th. Correct? I believe so.
Yep.
October 28th and 29th. We are trying to nail down. It will be on Twitch. We're trying to nail down if we can also do it on YouTube. I've got a couple of things I need to clear from a settings-wise, but at the very least, twitch.tv/Geek Cave Podcast or Geek Cave Podcast 2, because we'll have people on the other channel here and there as well. And a big thank you to Tom. You might remember him from the Geek Man Cave. He will be on his personal channel, and we're going to try to rebroadcast that on ours. But if not, we'll be able to give you the link on our social media so you can follow along. Chad, I know you've been doing a lot of reading, but have you been doing anything else lately?
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Demo Derby!
After last month's game, where I don't know if I owe you guys an apology. I mean, it's not like I use naughty language, but I needed a palate cleanser.
You were pretty bad, yeah.
I needed something that was somehow at once both relaxing and stimulating.
Okay.
And that kind of game's hard to come by. I needed something that replicated like the first five levels of Portal. You know what I mean? Where the puzzles are...
Yeah, they're kind of easy.
They're kind of easy, but you feel good about it. You don't have any kind of pressure.
Yeah.
Stakes are low. Humor is subtle, you know, at that point. So I found, well, my beautiful and intelligent spouse found the Switch demo for Please Touch the Artwork. Now, after first getting over my disappointment that this was not a Sesame Street tie-in to the game
Don't Eat the Pictures,
yeah. I was treated to this absurd little puzzle game that had me moving dots along pathways and had me, you know, solving color puzzles with increasing difficulty and vibing to a truly excellent jazzy soundtrack. The game is a port from a mobile game. And yet, I would still recommend it, even putting it, like, because it's a touchscreen game, mm-hmm. you know, use it on Switch, touchscreen game, but even putting it in the dock and playing it on the TV, it still kind of worked. You know, it kind of worked for me. And so I'm not holding that against it, the mobile gaminess of it. What I did get was a game that was super relaxing, somehow still pretty challenging, especially in some of the later levels that they give you. And if there's a story, I am completely and utterly unaware of it.
Okay.
The touch controls worked really well. I appreciated the dummy mode that you could turn on, like, because there's a couple mechanics that just kind of show up. And it shows you once, but there's just one little icon like over in the corner, and you hit that, and it tells you what that little thing does.
Okay.
And it'll just leave it there until you turn it off again.
Nice.
So I'm wanting something a little easier, so I turn on dummy mode. I'm ready for a challenge, I turn off dummy mode.
All right.
The game is pretentious as hell. I mean, you start up talking to a museum curator who asks questions like, does the word Zen give you shivers? And I have no idea what the answer is or what it affects. Like, you get a yes or no, and there's like three of these questions. And supposedly how you answer them changes what's recommended to you or ways that the game plays. I don't know what. So, at the end of the day, definitely pick up the demo. Definitely pick up the demo. It is a super chill, relaxing puzzle game. Listen to it through headphones, though, because the difference between listening to it through the Switch speakers and listening to it through the headphones was a completely different experience.
Okay.
Because through the headphones, it was this wonderful three-dimensional sound. So
cool.
This is a pick up the demo. Definitely a demo, at least. And if you like the demo, I'm tempted to pick up the whole game.
Okay.
Sweet.
Cool. Justin, before we get to the internet discussion, mm-hmm. have you played anything recently?
Actually, yes.
Now you're still doing that whole box art choice, right?
Yeah, I did go through and add a crap ton of things to my Gamefly queue based solely on the box art.
Okay.
I judged a game by its cover.
Fair. How'd that go?
So the last one I played was After Party, where
I know of this one.
You play as two college students just graduated who are at an after party, and they suddenly die and end up in hell. There's no reason why You don't know why you died. You don't know why you're in hell. Because you get to the register's office effectively at closing time. And hell works on normal business hours.
Absolutely, it does.
Yeah. So it's 5 o'clock.
Somewhere.
And, yeah, in hell. And you aren't going to get any answers until the next morning. But you do find a friendly cab driver who kind of gives you the ins and outs of hell. Like, this is this, blah, blah, blah. And you find out that if you challenge and beat Satan in a drinking contest, you'll get to go back to Earth.
Yep.
Okay, you had my attention, and now you have my interest.
Yeah.
And you have to... You go to Satan's house, but he is always throwing a rager, and there is a line down the mountain. Literally, down the mountain.
Right.
You can't just get into his house. Well, you find out that there are some people via Hell's social media network that have some extra tickets. So you go to one, and you find out that she is a human singer who has an extra ticket to get into Satan's rager. But because of the contract she signed with Satan to be famous on Earth, she can never leave the club that she is now in hell. She has to perform every night. So you have to get her out of her contract for one night. So you go downstairs and talk to her manager. Well, then it becomes, well, now you have to find us a, you know, an entertainment to replace her for the night.
It's a series of fetch quests.
It becomes a series of fetch quests. And I've seen easier fetch quests at a flea market. And at that point, I turned the game off and put it back in the envelope because I didn't come here for a fetch quest game. I came here for a drinking contest with Satan. And by the way, there are times in the game where you're at a bar and you are given a drink and there's a drink button and you drink and the screen starts to go blurry and
yep.
The sound starts to get echoey. And the faster you drink it, the wonkier things look.
That happens in Red Dead as well.
It's fun until it's not.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Yeah. Kind of a bummer of an after party.
Yeah, it really was.
So, spend any time kind of decompressing on Reddit?
Oh, absolutely. Despite the new trend of playing a game a month, I don't get to play very often. But I do have a wide breadth of gaming knowledge that I think is useful to the world at large. So I've been going through Reddit's Ask Games to answer these burning questions in a little segment I like to call
Ask Justin. The Geek Cave podcast and its associates, including Justin, do not condone the advice given in this segment.
Thank you, Nigel. So this month's question from Reddit's Ask Games is, any good mobile games? Well, yeah. There's Tag, Red Rover, Duck Duck Goose, Human Hunt, The Most Dangerous Prey. And there are tons of games that you can play while being mobile.
I don't know what I expected.
That's pretty well exactly what I expected.
Okay.
That
was good.
I'm glad that he didn't suggest such things as like, well, any game is a mobile game if you put it on a cart.
Oh, good.
Open my notes.
Add to the note. Yeah. Thank you, Justin.
Cart. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Chad.
You betcha, man.
Just thanks all around. Thank you, everybody. speaking of mobile or games on the move, I recently acquired a new piece of tech.
I like the way he says that as though he broke into somebody's vault.
Well, the way they're shipping these things out, it feels like it.
Did you take my advice from last month's Ask Games?
No, I ran that by legal, and it was told, do not do that. So, no, I got a Steam Deck.
Ooh.
Yeah, this is Valve's attempt to don't call it a Switch. They're totally trying to... you know, do something like that. But
the only thing it's missing is, you know, removable.
Yeah, you can't detach the controllers. What it is essentially a portable computer in every way. As in, like, if I hold the power button down, it'll give me the option to switch to desktop, and it takes me to a fully functional Linux desktop.
Nice.
You can also install Windows on it if you so choose.
I don't know why you would do that.
I don't know, but you can run emulators on it. You know, I saw someone manage to get Dolphin, the GameCube emulator, running on it so they could have Wind Waker HD portable.
Huh.
And, you know, it's got your standard controller layout, but it also has a couple programmable buttons underneath, and it's got a couple of track pads that offer some haptic feedback. So if you're playing Command & Conquer or any other real-time strategy game, you can use the haptic touchpads as a mouse, that kind of thing. It connects to multiple Bluetooth and USB-C docks, so you can use a keyboard on it. You know, it's pretty much a fully functional portable computer.
Nice.
Which is pretty cool. They don't have an official dock yet, but they are working on one. You can get a third-party dock and connect it to your TV, a la a Switch, that kind of thing. And, of course, the big question is, like, how does this work with games? Can you take your PC games with you? Yes and no. there's a lot of the Steam library that is compatible with Steam Deck. It falls under three categories. Runs great, has a couple issues, and we don't know. As in, Valve hasn't been able to test it yet. and there actually is a fourth category of no, just right out. And there's a small amount of games, none in my personal library, but there are a small amount of games that just don't. The we don't know, run those at your own risk, because it may work great. It may have a couple issues where you need to use like the virtual keyboard to answer a prompt, or it may just completely brick the machine. So try to avoid those, or like go on to forums and search. The category of kind of runs okay, most of those actually run just fine, except with one or two issues. Like Shadow of the Tomb Raider. I launched it. I ran a few hours just testing. It looks beautiful. You know, even portable, it looks just like I'm running it on a decent computer. The only issue is, and that's what got it the little orange tag, is it has a launcher every time you open it. So you just got to use the touchscreen and click yes or whatever. And then it's fine. Everything else is fine. Ghostwire Tokyo has that same warning. Ghostwire Tokyo goes from running 60 frames per second on my laptop to running about 25 frames per second on the Steam Deck. Yeah. I have to turn all of the graphical options all the way down. And it's like most other PC games in that you do have to adjust the graphical options if it's not running quite right. But for the most part, it was just a plug-and-play experience. A lot of games work great. That Hot Wheels racing game that I told you about, smooth as butter. You know,
nice.
And most racing games, I have found that it has issues with fighting games for whatever reason. I don't know why, but a lot of fighting games don't really work well on the Steam Deck. But the reason I feel like I had to acquire this piece of technology is when you want to order one, like most other consoles nowadays, it feels like a crapshoot. For me, I put $5 down. And then 4 or 5 months later, they emailed me like, okay, now complete your purchase and then we'll ship it to you soon. You know? That really cryptic AF. But they have actually gotten a lot better. People like myself who were told you'll get yours by the end of 2022 got bumped up because they've been able to speed up production, that kind of thing. So Valve's working on that. So if you're like me, you like PC gaming, or if you're someone who's interested in PC gaming because of the fact that games go on sale for absurdly low prices every once in a while, that kind of thing, but you don't want to go to the hassle of building a PC and you don't want to buy kind of like a higher ticket priced item, this is a nice entry point at the very least, where you can get something that is portable that can connect to your TV via a dock and you'll still get a pretty decent PC experience. So, yeah, I would say it is at least worth considering, especially if you like the Switch, but you wish to switch. Chad made the joke, oh, so that's what the Switch Pro looks like, because it essentially it's heavy. I mean, it's not like it's about 3 pounds, but it's a lot bigger than I expected it to be, you know?
Yeah, it's the size of a charger plate rather than a dinner plate.
Yeah, it was much larger than I anticipated. But overall,
that's what she said.
But overall, I've enjoyed using it. Now, I did have issues with internet connectivity, but I think part of that is because of my personal internet situation. If you want to take your games on the go, you do have to switch it to offline mode before you do so. It's just little nitpicky stuff, but for the most part, it works as I expected it to work.
Cool.
All right, man.
All right. If there's no further business, I don't believe there is any. Mr. Harris, if you will.
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to Darren's Pile of Shame.
Let me take you back, gentlemen, to a simpler time. A time when bright, vibrant colors adorned our Trapper Keepers. When the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Tiny Toon Adventures, and Darkwing Duck adorned our television sets.
Oh, man.
When men were men, women were women, and green monsters with orange hair were actually just little boys who grew up in the Amazon. I'll get back to that.
Okay.
Let me take you back to 1991, where arcades got a much-needed shot in the arm and the fighting game genre was solidified in the echelons of gaming history. Let me take you to the game that made it all possible and one of the most important games personally to me. Let's talk about Street Fighter II.
Ah, there we go.
All right.
Round one. Fight. Now, for this month's Pile of Shame, as with the others we've looked at this year, we're looking at a game that has won multiple Game of the Year awards. But for me, Street Fighter II means something so much more. It means a trip to Pantera's Pizza in East Alton, Illinois, and playing a few rounds with my grandfather while we waited for our order. He was very good at Street Fighter II.
What wasn't this man good at?
Good question. Street Fighter II came along in 1991 as the sequel to a pretty much unheard of and, frankly, not very good arcade fighting game made by Capcom called Street Fighter. I know.
I was never going to get there.
Big surprise, yeah. The idea was simple. Do everything this game did better and improve on everything the first game didn't do well. More special moves, activated by doing a combination of sometimes complex joystick and button movements and presses. For example, to throw a Hadouken, a fireball, you would motion with the joystick down, down, forward, forward, and hit a punch button, or circle forward punch, that kind of thing. Quarter circle forward. More characters to choose from, and maybe an actual story for each and every single character. What happened in the first Street Fighter game was that you basically got to play as Ryu or Ken, and they played identically, which carried over for the rest of the series because the idea is, oh, well, they trained at the same dojo. That's why they fight identically.
All right.
Fair enough. But what happened after Street Fighter II hit arcades was something nobody expected. Gamers went banana pants for it. The game has spawned...
Not full banana pants.
Full banana pants. The game has spawned tournaments. It's been the foundation of what we now know as esports. It led to animated series and movies, comic books, some pretty terrible live-action movies, endless amounts of collectibles, and it even had a brief run as G.I. Joe action figures.
Oh, that's amazing.
Those little three-inch guys. Yeah. Worldwide, more than 200,000 arcade cabinets and 15 million software units of all versions of Street Fighter II have been sold. Grossing an estimated $10 billion in total revenue. It's one of the top three highest grossing video games of all time as of 2017. And it was the best selling fighting game until 2019 when it was beat by Street Fighter IV.
Wow.
Its pixel-perfect arcade port to the Super Nintendo was one of the reasons the SNES triumphed over the Sega Genesis in the 16-bit console wars. Because even though the Mortal Kombat versions, the Nintendo one did not have blood, the Genesis one did. When it came to Street Fighter II, one looked and played just like the arcade, and the other played like a sack of dog crap. And that is my opinion.
But a 16-bit sack of dog crap.
Yeah, so like slightly cartoonier. It goes without saying the impact of Street Fighter II is massive on the gaming landscape. But enough about the history lesson. Let me tell you how bad I am at it. You see,
there we go.
When I love fighting games, as long as I'm either playing against friends or playing the games on easy. Because with friends, we can all laugh and joke around while trying and failing to throw a fireball or whatever. Sometimes the fights are one-sided, sometimes they're down to the wire, but they're always fun. And we sometimes forget to take that into account when we talk about video games. But when I'm playing against a computer, I just want to burn a few minutes without having to think too hard about what I'm doing, you know? To me, it's like comfort food. Now, that all goes out the window when you're playing on anything harder than normal, or if you're playing online in the later re-releases of this game. Then you may as well call me Rump Roast because my ass is being served up on a platter. I cannot begin to tell you how much a skilled player can thoroughly whoop me at this game, whether it's chaining together a stupid amount of combos using only the lightest attacks possible. There's jab, medium, and fierce. And people will get me in a corner and then just me over and over again. Or they just cheese the crap out of me by throwing Hadouken after Hadouken after Hadouken after Hadouken until either time runs out or my face melts off, whichever comes first. And the computer does also seem to develop a sixth sense once you're playing harder than like normal difficulty, especially the four boss fights you deal with once you beat the rest of the roster. It doesn't matter what I'm trying to do. M. Bison is going to block it. He is going to kick me in the head, and I'm going to take it. But you know what? I keep coming back. The controls are tight. The music is catchy and iconic. The smack talk that happens on the screen after a fight, including such phrases as when Guile, who's an army guy, tells whoever he's beaten, even if it's a woman, go home and be a family man. It's all so addictive and charming, and the gameplay itself is pitch perfect. The endings are also completely absurd. Zangief, who is a pro wrestler from Russia who didn't find competition stiff enough, so he took up wrestling actual bears. And if you beat the game as him, you know that Russian dance where they have their arms folded and they kick out?
Yeah.
It's him doing that with Gorbachev. Like actual Gorbachev.
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of thing. Like I said, the gameplay itself is pitch perfect. It feels right. You know, that just one of those unquantifiable, you have the controller in hand and it feels right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the future iterations of Street Fighter 2, because they've made so many revisions of Street Fighter 2, not counting the other sequels, they added more outlandish characters. There is one guy who is literally Bruce Lee, but they changed his name, but it's Bruce Lee.
Bruce Bree.
They sped up gameplay to an absurd degree. Fei Long, actually.
Ah.
They added even more... one of the characters I mentioned earlier in the intro to this is a guy named Blanca who has green skin, orange hair, and if you mash the attack, one of the attack buttons, he'll just start generating electricity. His backstory? He was a little boy who got lost in the Amazon. And he was raised by electric eels. And so when you beat the game as him, he reunites with his mother who recognizes young Billy after all this time.
His eel mother or his...
No, his human mother.
Okay. I was going to say, his eel mother or his real mother?
I'm less interested now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things that they added in future releases is you can fight each other as the same character. Like, you and a friend can both fight as Ryu or whatever.
Championship.
Yeah. Edition. But for me, the original is still the best. Anyone can pick it up and figure out what they're doing, roughly, within a few minutes. And anyone can have a good time, even if all they're doing is button mashing. Now, I have played this game all the way through with each of the 8 playable characters more times than I can count. For me, Street Fighter 2 is not a part of just my gaming resume. It is a tangible and important part of my history. Every time I pick it up, it takes me back to that small pizza restaurant in that strip mall in 1991, waiting on a large cheese pizza, never knowing how complicated life was about to become, and not knowing just how the hell a 62-year-old knows how to do Guile's flash kick. Street Fighter 2 has won numerous Game of the Year awards in both Japan and the U.S. It's widely regarded as one of the greatest games of all time. It's really damn good. Be like me. For Kent, for Chad, for Justin, I'm Darren. Be sure that you check out all of our other podcasts, including You Want Me to Watch What? The Week 3 podcast, the occasional TLDR. We just recently had one go up about Amazon's Lord of the Rings TV series. It was really good. You can find us on Twitch at twitch.tv/GeekCavePodcast for whenever we can get that up and working properly. You can also check out Geek Cave Plays and Retromantics on our YouTube channel. You can also find links to all of our social media channels at GeekCavePodcast.com, including the Discord server, where you can chat with us one-on-one, meet other Geek Cave fans, share your ideas, and get early access to each new episode. So for all these guys, just remember, if you ever try to throw a fireball from your hands in real life, best case scenario, nothing happens. Worst case scenario, third degree burns. And remember, everyone is a geek for something.